is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. What's the best way to attract more business to Michigan? It's something that we constantly debate. We're always trying to figure out how we add more jobs and expand the economic pie. And we talk about whether we ought to fiddle with the tax structure as a way of luring more people to do business here, or offer incentives to have better things, to have better parks, nicer schools, more effective transit, and all the other projects that we think about here in Michigan. We do need more money to make a lot of those things happen. And a lot of that could be possible with new business activity. And that's also why this has attracted a lot of attention when lawmakers met recently. They added almost $1 billion to the Michigan state budget in an attempt to attract new businesses to Michigan. Is that the right way to go about it? Or is that sort of chasing our tails? And maybe we should be thinking about different strategies to grow businesses instead of luring them. To talk about all of these issues and the questions surrounding them, we've got Lauren Gibbons. She's a reporter who covers politics for Bridge Michigan, and she has been covering this issue in her recent reporting. Lauren, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this $846 million in spending to attract new businesses. Where's this money going, and how will it attract new economic growth to Michigan?
Yeah, so this money was approved for a relatively new fund called the Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve. And as you said, it brought the available balance to $846-ish million. And so this money would be going to trying to attract large-scale businesses to Michigan. That's kind of the goal. Some of the funding has been earmarked for site development to kind of identify areas where a large business could relocate. Trying to authorize this money to be sort of flexible in offering incentives to bring these big businesses into Michigan. Now, we saw this week that a couple of new companies committed to opening electric vehicle battery plants in Michigan. That's been a big part of this push for the new incentives. And those would be located near Big Rapids mm-hmm. and in Western Wayne County. So that's kind of the goal with this money, is to get these big businesses here, to put out a bat signal, if you will, to businesses around the country and around the world saying, hey, Michigan is interested in getting these large-scale businesses.
Yeah. So I want to go back in time just a little bit to when Rick Snyder was the governor and calling himself one tough nerd, maybe the nerdiest of his days in office, were kind of enshrined by this idea that this is the wrong way to do business. He announced during his campaign that when he was first running for governor that he was going to get rid of these kinds of incentive programs. And when he was elected, he did get rid of quite a few. Now, in the later years, he had to back off of that because of legislative pressure. But this debate has been going on in Lansing for a long time. And there are questions on both sides about, I guess, whether this actually works. What were some of the questions that legislators this time raised about this approach?
Oh, sure. And to your point, this debate continued even last week when mm-hmm. this funding was approved, to the extent that the House Appropriations Chair was so opposed to the idea that he resigned from that particular post. Now, he's still a lawmaker, but that was a pretty big sign of protest against this sort of spending. And some of the criticisms have been just sort of the lack of safeguards, if you will, in approving this money, offering these incentive packages, and not putting a little teeth in those packages to make sure that the jobs that were promised are actually fulfilled, or that there's not layoffs down the road, and essentially just adding in some protections to ensure that the investment is sound. So that is still a thrumming undercurrent of this conversation, the question of whether this is the right approach to attract business, or if other things should be focused on, like improving the quality of life in Michigan to make it a more attractive place to be, so workers want to come to Michigan. There's a long running debate about what the right approach is here. Now, this particular package was pretty bipartisan; it passed with bipartisan support. But yes, there was some loud critiques of using this much money, especially this much money, to attract business.
Yeah. House Appropriations Chair Thomas Albert, a Republican from Lowell, announced he was going to resign his chairmanship over this issue. That doesn't happen every day in Lansing. Is that just posturing on his part, or is he genuinely, offended by this approach?
You know, it doesn't happen every day. That's true. And this is part of it. There were probably some other things going on as well. He was very hesitant to spend a lot of the money that Michigan has been sitting on, both in terms of the federal funding that's been approved, both for COVID and other uses, and then also the surplus that Michigan has had in the last couple of years in the budget. And Representative Albert had been hesitant to look at ways to use those funds. He was supportive of kind of keeping them in reserve in the event that the economy tanks down the road, or, you know, just watching those high inflation rates. That was a pretty far break from other members of House leadership and other lawmakers and the governor's administration. So he had been opposed to some of that spending for a long time, but this supplemental package was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can try to work you into the conversation that way. Let's go to John in Dearborn. John, what's on your mind?
Hi. So my perspective of the spending is, if it's going to be this much money used, and you said it was $1 billion, right?
Close to, yeah.
Okay. So if that amount of money is going to be used, I feel like it's important to have very well thought out and planned business planning, because a lot of investments today seem to get kind of wasted because of potential pitfalls and blind spots in business plans.
Sure.
And people, you know, when they invest, they expect to at least get something back. But I feel like a lot of the time, the money's not really going, you know, to anything other than a misunderstood business model that winds up failing.
Hmm. Yeah, John, it's a great point, and it runs alongside the questions about what the consequences maybe should be if businesses who receive this kind of help don't deliver on the promises that they've made. But Lauren, talk about the kind of scrutiny up front, I guess, that businesses would be getting if they applied to get this kind of money. Is there a real check of the possibility that they'll be able to do what they say they want to do?
Yeah, I think that remains to be seen, at least for some of these brand new projects that have just been announced. But supporters of this plan have said that part of the reason they are, you know, authorizing certain amounts of funding at a time is to essentially add some discipline in making sure that this isn't a rubber stamp fund for businesses. We heard that from Senate Majority Leader Shirky. We heard that from some Democrats as well, saying, you know, the legislature is working with local officials to be proactive and kind of not only listening to some of the more serious possibilities for development, but also, you know, kind of looking at finding and readying those potential sites that could potentially be used to attract business. But that said, yeah, there is an undercurrent of, you know, is this the right approach? Is the legislature and the administration, you know, enough of a check on these businesses, and can they adequately ensure that these businesses will commit to what they say they're committing to? So yeah. there's definitely that ongoing conversation for sure.
Yeah. John, appreciate the call and the question. Let's go to Joe in Rochester Hills. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Real good. Yeah. My first point is on any one of these endeavors, when we have incentives, we never look at it the way we should. It's bringing in new industry, not new business. Because we're doing the same old thing with the same old industries. It always ends up, you know, ends up being a partisan thing in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we should step back and look at the future. What do we need to be down the road?
Right.
We need to look at things in artificial intelligence, automation, all these sort of areas where we are consumers of it. We don't produce it here.
Yeah. Joe, that's a really great point, and I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to run out of time. Lauren, how much of this is about expanding into new areas of business and industry, and how much of it is about, you know, buttressing and solidifying our attachment to manufacturing and autos in particular?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. And we've heard, especially when the SOAR Fund was first introduced as a concept, we heard the major supporters of this saying that this is a way for Michigan to kind of expand beyond what we're currently doing. Now, Michigan is, of course, known for its manufacturing base, but you can see in the types of businesses that are being courted here, the businesses that we've seen come forward, these are electric vehicle battery plants, right? That's an intent to kind of move away from the gas-powered into, you know, this new area of industry. So it will be really interesting to see what lawmakers and the administration and future administrations want to do here, and whether there's openings for these other industries to make a case for coming to Michigan and potentially opting into these incentives.
Yeah. Okay. Lauren Gibbons, reporter who covers Michigan politics for Bridge Michigan. It's always great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for coming by to explain all of this.
But thanks so much for having me.
That's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with the author about a new book on parenting, how it's changed, the new challenges it presents, and how to find grace within the chaos that parenting often demands. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.